guys.
What are you doing that stupid trickery crap for?
This Felger and Mass.
The continued ish.
On 98.5.
I just want to see what the fuss is about.
The Sports Hub.
I'll probably hate it.
Runner will take off, and there's a swing and a high fly ball. Deep left center, Benintendi has room, though he's there. He makes the catch, and that will do it. The Red Sox get to 80 wins faster than anybody. Martinez with another monster night. Jackie Bradley with a home run. Mitch Moreland had a huge one as well. And the Red Sox take game number one. It goes extra innings, TC, but now 80-34.
All right, there you go. Best record in baseball. First team to 80 wins. Another clutch and late comeback performance. Winning performance by the Red Sox. So we're here to celebrate that Red Sox victory, right, Maz?
Oh, yeah. No, what an opportunity, really, to just throw a parade for him. I mean, because that was an inspiring, confidence-inducing victory. That's what
so
it was.
So this is what you get, folks. You get another win. They're fifth, sixth straight, whatever it is. Best record in baseball by a mile. And Tony Maserati and Big Jim Murray are now going to do their thing. Felger Mazza broadcasting you from Gillette Stadium. We're here for Patriots training camp in lieu of Beadle and Zoe. They pushed back practice today, so we drew the straw here to go to Gillette. Happy to be here. Murray's back in our Town Fair Tire Studios in Dorchester. So go ahead, do your thing, Maz. What's your lead takeaway from last night?
Okay, so here's my lead takeaway. Do the Red Sox win because of their bullpen, or do they win in spite of it?
Well, in spite of it.
So, to me, this is really the thing that sticks out. And it's, you can look at them all you want and say they keep winning games, and they do. And again, the regular season to me is theirs. They're going to win the division. The Yankees aren't going to catch them. The question becomes to me, can their flaws be exposed in the postseason? And the bullpen now is becoming even more of a concern for me, if that is possible. So I look at it and I say, you know, I don't know how many times I've said this to you, but it feels like every time they get a save or that their bullpen does okay, they've got a 2 or 3 run lead. Like, there's always a cushion there. So I look at last night, Kimbrel gets on the mound with a 1-run lead, and he blows it. He's blown his last 2 saves with a 1-run lead. In between, he pitched against the Yankees and didn't do very well. Now, granted, he might be in a slump, but whatever. You get my point. I went and looked it up today. Do you realize they ranked 23rd in the league in 2-run games and 23rd in the league in 3-run games?
I don't know what that means.
I'm sorry. I said that backwards. My point is they have played among the fewest games in baseball where the margin has been 1 or 2 runs.
I got you.
I said that wrong. Okay? So they've played among the fewest games in baseball that have been close, ultimately based on the final score. And I just think that no matter what Kimbrel's numbers are, no matter what Barnes' numbers are, they really haven't been put in a lot of pressure situations because their offense is good. They score a lot of runs. The competition is bad, and they're typically winning games 8-3, 8-4, 8-5, whatever it is. Those margins are always comfortable enough for their relievers to go on the mound. And so I think you put those relievers in a pressure spot, and all of a sudden they're not quite as good. So last night, Kelly, Barnes, Kimbrel, Thornburg, the four horsemen of the apocalypse, so to speak, but those are really your four best relievers. They all allowed a run. Kimbrel blew a save. Like, so again, now they won the game in spite of them. They end up winning 10-5 or 10-7, actually, as it turned out. And they get some key hits. Are they going to be able to beat everybody 10-7 in October?
You don't think so. You probably don't think so.
I mean, I don't know how Murray feels, but I look at last night and say, that was the epitome of the wheel of gutless bums.
Okay, before I get to Murray, Billy, you may open the phone lines at 617-779-0985. You can join us early and often. We're going to start with Red Sox. And it's hard not to have your lead takeaway be, even though these guys are negative pricks and that's just where they will naturally go, it's hard not to look at that bullpen performance last night, including Kimbrel, and not just sort of tie that into, I don't know, any big pitcher concerns you have. Right, Jim?
Oh, yeah. No. We're supposed to feel good about it, though, Mike, at least according to my Twitter feed late last night. And I really didn't say anything. It's now that I live inside the heads of many a Red Sox fan because of the asterisk, which I remind all of you, I've erased. But no, you know, see, I'm joyless and a troll, much like Maz, because I can't enjoy a win like last night's. This team is just a freight train. There's no stopping them. Look, they're going to mash terrible competition, and I'm not going to get excited about them beating the Blue Jays to death. Again, the Blue Jays. It's either them or the Orioles. Every other week they're playing this team. I don't know how you can feel good about that last night, if you're realistic. If you want to keep sticking your head in the sand about that bullpen, go right ahead. Yes, it's fun. Yeah, look, okay, that was ultimately fun to watch last night. But the implosion of that bullpen, and they tried to give it away again after Mitch Moreland and JBJ go off in the 10th to give them a win. They tried to puke it up again in that bottom of the 10th inning, and thankfully they didn't, because, again, they're going to mash terrible competition. But ultimately, this team's bullpen is going to be their undoing. I don't know how you can't look at last night and think about the playoffs and not feel a little bit worried.
Murray, so you were getting chirped on Twitter last night for no reason, you're saying?
None. None at all. You killjoys. You grumps. You trolls. How can you not enjoy this? Get on board. This is the most fun Red Sox team of my lifetime. Blah, blah, blah. Okay. Yep. Just keep ignoring the problem that is this team's bullpen that's going to ultimately be their undoing come playoff time. Unless, look, there's things that they can do. Say Eduardo Rodriguez comes back, and maybe they can move David Price to the bullpen. Maybe Eovaldi goes into the bullpen. There's things that they can do to fix it. But if they're going to leave it as is, don't be mad at me. Be mad at Dave Dombrowski, who did nothing to address this issue at the trade deadline.
Yeah, I'm with Murray. I mean, again, I just look at it and say, look, it's great that you can pull it off against Toronto, that your bullpen blows a lead and you win in spite of it because your offense is so good. And they do. They have the best offense in the game. It's the number one offense in baseball. Is that going to translate in October? Can you win games that way? Now, look, the Astros did. So I just think it's a hard way to do it. And sooner or later, you're going to have a 4-3 game there where your offense isn't going to bail you out, and you need your bullpen to nail it down.
So, Murray,
let me ask you a simple question. Yeah. When's the last time you watched a game? And admittedly, very few of us watch beginning to end every night, okay? But when's the last time you watched a game and said, boy, their bullpen nailed that thing down? They had the lead after six. They went to the pen, lock, stock, and barrel, boom, 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 it was over.
Doesn't feel like that's been very recently.
I can't remember one. I mean, now, look, it's obviously happened somewhere along the line, but I just don't feel like they do it. I don't feel like they do that, ever. And so, you know, to me, there's always a glitch, and they end up scoring and winning. It speaks to their competitiveness, what Murray would call the it factor. There are all of those things there, but it's never because their bullpen nailed it down.
And now Kimbrel's on the list, right? You used to say, just get to Kimbrel. Now you're legitimately concerned about Kimbrel himself.
I just think that Kimbrel is also showing some cracks here. And so, again, I looked it up today. Kimbrel has had 17 save opportunities where he's ended the game with one run.
I think these are great numbers. So say it again. So start over.
He's had 17 appearances where he's entered the game in a save situation with a one-run lead.
One-run lead. Thank you.
He's blown four of them. Okay, he's blown four of them. That's a save conversion rate of, I don't have the number.
76.5.
Okay, I was going to say 76.4.
Which to me,
is low.
You got to be at least 80, probably 90 to be an elite guy.
I mean, that's low in a one-run game. And if he's an elite guy, he should be nailing down the one-run games. Any other lead, two or three runs, or when he comes on with the tying run in the on-deck circle, 21 for 21.
So again, folks, when he's got a save situation of two or more runs, 21 for 21. When it's only one run, 13 of 17.
And so again,
so that feels low, but to really be fair, we'd have to see what everyone else's percentages are in those situations.
Correct. But the point is,
where does he nerd call? Where does he rank in one run save situations?
Right.
There's got to be a way to filter that, right?
You would think so. It's hard to find. But to me, that's the one. That's the one that separates the real closers, the great closers from the also.
Well, no, but this is why we have the nerd call. I mean, I don't know if you have it, Billy, or not, but I'll put out the official nerd call. I want to know where Craig Kimbrel ranks in one-run saves. Where does he rank? Because, again,
one-run save percentage.
Well, yeah. I mean, give me everything. If you can filter it by, say, percentage, filter it by ERA, filter it by home runs, filter it by everything. Let me know. Where does he rank statistically in one-run save situations? He has saved 13 of 17 one-run save situations for 76.5%. Is that a high percentage or a low? It feels low to me. But who knows? Maybe that's what the league average is. Shouldn't we know that?
Yes, we should know that.
Nerds, get on that. Either way, he's always scared me because I think unless he comes in with the clean inning, clean sheet, ninth inning, you know, two, three runs, that I'm sort of holding my breath with him. So just my eyeballing it, he's someone that, I mean, he's good. He's not on your list of problems. But I still always had a little thing in the back of my head about him, for
sure. Well, and look, I think it's bearing it out now. And again, remember in between, there was the game over the weekend where he came in with a spongy lead. It was a 4-0 game, and he had trouble throwing strikes in that one as it went along.
What do you call that?
Spongy.
Spongy lead.
He had a little bit of a cushion there.
Okay.
He had a little bit of a sponge.
Yep.
So I just think that You know, as it goes on, and I don't believe in the setup, man, and I'm starting to wonder about Kimbrel now, really, in high-pressure situations on top of it. And so you say, okay, one-run games. I also looked up when he's come in a tie this year. Okay, Kimbrel has come into a tie game five times this year. He's won one and he's lost one, and he's only given up one run. But in 4 2/3 innings, he's given up 6 hits and 4 walks.
Yeah, I hate him in those situations.
So that's 10 base runners in less than 5 innings, you know, if you believe in the whole whip. That's a whip over 2. For a reliever, that's off the charts high. It's way too high. That number's going to be in the low ones or under 1 for a guy with his kind of stuff. Okay, I think they say average is like 1.2, and not to bog you down with too many numbers. He's almost double the average of an average pitcher, for crying out loud. Like, the number's way too high. And again, I look at that and say, so let me get this straight. He comes into a tie game with no wiggle room, and all of a sudden he can't throw strikes. He's walking guys and giving up hits. Why is that? Is it because there's no margin for error? Because that's what it feels like to me. And then he comes into save situations with a one-run lead 17 times, and he's blown 25% of them. That feels like a high number to me. For a guy with his kind of stuff that is regarded as one of the best closers and best of what he does in the game. And so I just, overall, I don't know any other way to say it other than when you really put these relievers on the spot, because I pick on Barnes, I pick on Kelly, and hell, I'm probably going to start picking on Thornburg now too. But when you put them in a big spot, can they throw strikes under pressure and get big outs? And I don't know if they can.
Sounds to me like you two have put your asterisk back on.
No.
You haven't put it on, Murray, but that's your tonality. That's the content of your comments.
No, you can't put the asterisk back on, Mike, because you're hearing tone. I had in parentheses anyway. The bullpen still blows when I erase the asterisk. I'm just pointing out the truth.
Well, but that's the asterisk to this Red Sox team. 1-80, best record in baseball, record pace for their franchise, but that's the asterisk.
No, look, maybe they're going to keep scoring 9 or 10 runs every single game. They certainly have the capability to do so. I mean, JD Martinez is like on another planet. They mash. They mash these terrible teams like the Blue Jays. But I just don't know how you could look at a game like last night and basically like 3 implosions by that bullpen and feel good about it going forward.
No, I mean, you can't. My curiosity is, I know they're going to start moving starters back there, and they will for the playoffs. Why not do it now and start to try and find your order? Try and find your, you know, I don't know when Houston did it last year. I mean, that's what they did. But I don't know. It just seems to me like you got plenty of a sponge here, plenty of cushion. And so whether it's Pomerantz or Eddie Rodriguez or Eovaldi eventually, or like, why not get back there and start seeing if guys can define their roles and find out what you got there? Because if you go with this group, it feels like that's not good enough.
So I think the reason for that is at the moment Eduardo Rodriguez is out, Stephen Wright is out. Right? So you're going to take someone out of your rotation. Is Pomeranz really going to help you in the bullpen?
I don't know.
No.
Give him a shot.
He blows. Please. Starter, reliever, whatever, anything in between. He sucks. I just think that guy's worthless. Really, I didn't like him from the day they got him. He had a hell of a year last year and proved me wrong, but I feel like he's reverted right back to what he was. And I would never, I would have no confidence at all putting him in a big spot. To me, the one is Price and maybe Eovaldi because of, you know, just the sheer movement on that cutter and everything else. But I don't think they can do it now.
Felger Mass from training camp, but we're starting Red Sox to you right after this.
Making sense of Boston sports.
There's no catching and no throwing. Anyone can play, no matter how hopelessly unathletic they are.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Matt Barnes, Heath Henry,
Doc Joe Kelly,
and those other guys.
It's time to spin the wheel of gutless bums. Red Sox manager Alex Cora is faced with a tough decision. Who to use in a high leverage situation late in the game? Now, let's spin the wheel!
And today's gutless bum is the jackpot of some!
Travis edging off second with one away. And another play on. He throws it into the outfield. Travis up, heading to third base. He will stop there. Joe Kelly with the throwing error. Red Sox made 2 errors in the inning. Knocks that one toward the alley. Ricky Betts won't get it. That'll take a hop up against the wall. Solari rounding third. He's going to try and score it. He will. On a two-base hit by Maley to cut the Red Sox lead to one.
Just stays right on top of that fastball out over the middle from Barnes.
Well, the 3-0 pitch. There's a shot, driven deep, back it goes, it is gone. Well, it has been rough sledding as of late for Craig Kimbrell. He has blown a save here tonight, and we are dead even. They're up by five here in the 10th inning. Tyler Thornburg coming out of the bullpen, and many of the Blue Jay fans have long since vacated Rogers Center.
Ooh.
There's a high deep right left field. You can kiss this one goodbye. That's gone into the second level. Pilar tags it. That'll make it 10-7. So they keep on swinging it.
The Wheel of Gutless Bums. Today's winner again, Jim Murray. What was today's winner?
Today was the jackpot of suck, Mike.
The jackpot of suck.
Yeah.
No, they did. They hit the home run last night. They touched them all. Kelly Barnes, Kimbrell Thornburg, every one of them. That was beautiful.
All right, issues. That's the issue with the team. And you saw it last night. How much of an issue? Frank and Milford, lead us off today. Go ahead, Frank.
Yes, I wanted to ask Tony about the differences between the 2013 Red Sox, where he couldn't commit until they pretty much made the playoffs, versus this particular team. I think that team would rake and probably with this competition have 115 wins, pace as well. I just wanted to see, because that bullpen was lights out with Miller and Koji Uehara.
To me, this team is much better. But that bullpen was better.
That bullpen was better. Again, I think we forget that, right? Like, Uehara was unbelievable.
Tremendous.
That year. And, in fact,
and
it was
Tozawa, right?
Tozawa was good for him, too. Yes, absolutely. And, look, Tozawa, to me, you could say, well, he was a little shaky, but at the end of the day, it worked.
And Andrew Miller wasn't quite Andrew Miller.
Correct.
I mean, he was on the team, right?
Yes.
But he wasn't the weapon.
No. He wasn't what he became in Cleveland. And I would tell you that overall, at the very least, if you look at the one thing that you could say consistently about the 04, 07, and 13 Red Sox, they were all pretty good at the end of the game. Folk was awesome in 04. Papelbon was ridiculous in 07. And Uehara was insane in 03, in 13.
Okay, and this team does not have those
things. It doesn't feel that way to me. Now, look, doesn't mean they can't win it. They're just going to have to do it a different way. And can we stop throwing 13 in my face with this? Like, I admit, on that team, I didn't believe in a whole lot of them. I didn't.
Until game five of the World Series, Mass.
Five.
It wasn't the playoffs. It was till the very end, buddy boy.
I told you, this team's a good team. I've said that all along. I just need to find out if they're great. But they've already wrapped up the division. I give them that.
There is a statute of limitations for bad takes. I mean, but I still get people calling me up and going, oh, the Jets passed the Patriots, Felger. Bleh. That was 8 years ago, 9 years ago. So
I don't think I've taken the same stance with this team that I took in 13.
No.
That's what I'm saying.
Well, it's not as bad. It's not as bad. But it is similar in nature, actually. Mike in Danvers. Go ahead, Mike. Michael. Okay, babe, you can call us back. You know the deal. Jim in Linfield. Go ahead, Jim.
Hello.
Hi, Jim. You're on the air. Please go.
Hello, Maz.
Yes, Jim.
Are you kidding me? Why don't you... You always wait to the end and you say, well, I'm not committed yet. I'll have to wait. Wait for what?
Jim, how'd you feel about the bullpen last night?
They weren't that good. How about the 80 wins?
So the question is, can they live that way in the postseason?
Okay, so I wonder about that. I think it's a hard way to live against good teams. That's all. And so I think sooner or later, you got to get to the end of a game and nail it down. And you got to have the ability to do that against good competition. And what scares me about this postseason is that they're going to see some good lineups in the American League. I don't think there's any way they get through. Maybe I'm wrong. But I don't think there's any way they get through without seeing New York or Houston. I think there's a good chance they end up seeing both. But to miss both of those teams, I think it's going to take a miracle. And if they get in the late innings with a one-run lead against those lineups, I think they're going to have problems.
The thing from last night, and that's not just last night, it's been building a little bit, is you used to say if they could just get it to Kimbrell, they're fine. And now you're starting to wonder about Kimbrell himself. I mean, again, slump, fine. Slumps happen. But if it's something more, then you're in deep trouble. Dan in Northboro, your thoughts on Craig Kimbrell?
Yeah, I mean, I think the bullpen's got some big issues. I don't share the concern that you guys have with Kimbrell. His stuff was nasty last night. He struck out the side. He got down 3-0 and grooved a fastball to Smoke, and Smoke's a good fastball hitter. So, I can't get all over him for that. I think he is in a little slump. I think he'll come out of it. My question if you had to pick one guy to convert the save, are you more comfortable sending Chapman in against the Red Sox or Kimbrel in against the Yankees?
Kimbrel against the Yankees.
Yeah, me too.
Kimbrel against the Yankees. Chapman's got a real problem with you, and if and when you face the Yanks, that's going to be a big thing for the New York Yankees.
I think Kimbrel's a better strike thrower than Chapman is. So to me, that's the big thing, is I feel like Chapman gets out of whack and he's all over the place. He's worse than Kimbrel is in that regard. So to me, I'll take Kimbrel in that one.
We've got Will in Worcester. He joins us next on Felger and Mazz. Hi, Will.
Hey, guys. How you doing? I'm going to amend my point here because I can't remember what I was going to say earlier, but do you finally think it's that Alex Cora gave Drew Pomeranz enough chances? I mean, this has got to be enough is enough. He can't even throw five. And do you think that, you know, Drew would somewhat be somewhat successful in the bullpen for the remainder of the season?
Okay. I don't know why you're so – thank you for the call. I don't know why you're so adamant against not trying Pomeranz. What, you want to see Joe Kelly again? You want to see Matt Barr? You want to spin the wheel of gutless bums? Why not bring in a new gutless bum and just see? And just see if, like, I mean, the common thing, you narrow down your pitches, you go from four pitches to two, you preserve your bullets, you throw harder, you know, the whole nut, and just see if that little change of scenery gets a little something out of him. It can't be worse than what you've got.
Sure, give it a try.
So why not?
Yeah, give it a try.
So why are you against it?
I'm just telling you, I don't think it's going to work.
Why would anyone be against it?
I'm not against trying it. I just don't think it's going to work. And so even if Pomeranz throws okay here in the regular season, he's going to get on the mound in the playoffs and crap his pants. So I'm sorry. I just have no faith in Drew Pomeranz. I don't. I want something better than that. And so you want to try it? No problem. Let's give it a shot. I know how it's going to end, but let's give it a shot. To me, the guy's Price. Price is the guy. I just don't know whether they have the balls to do it. And whether they have the balls to go to Price and say, we need you out there in October, because look at this parade of clowns that we're sending out there in the seventh and eighth inning.
What about Price's willingness to do it?
So I think Price is going to be resistant. And I think that at the end of the day, he's not going to have a choice. It's either pitch out of the bullpen or don't pitch.
Oh, really? You think the Sox would hold that ultimatum over him? This team?
Yeah.
No way. No shot.
Yeah,
So, David, either you go out and pitch in the eighth inning, or we're not going to pitch you at all. And instead, we're going to pitch Drew Pomeranz in a playoff game over you just because you won't pitch in the bullpen. You think that's really going to happen?
Well, I don't think it's going to be Pomeranz. I think that you could end up with a rotation of Sale, Porcello, Evaldi, Eduardo Rodriguez.
Okay. So, yeah.
Exactly. And you know what? Based on what Price has been for the entire year, I don't think that's a drop-off. I don't. I just think that Price overall has been pretty mediocre.
We continue with your thoughts on the Boston Red Sox off last night's big win. Can't you tell we're celebrating it? Right after Murray's update here. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to Felger and Mazz.
And his 2-0. As a rocket smoked into the corner, and that ball is gone! Home run, J.D. Martinez! And the Red Sox are on top in the eighth inning. He hit a rocket right into the foul screen, and the Red Sox have the lead.
Big moment for the Red Sox last night, eighth inning, down a couple runs, I think, and J.D. Martinez with two outs. It's a three-run home run on a 2-0 count. Second base was open, I believe, in the situation.
It was first and third.
First and third, two out, and it's a 2-0 count. So here's an idea. Let's just groove run right down the middle for the best home run hitter in baseball. This is another thing I wonder about in the postseason. Are they going to get pitched to like they're getting pitched to by these suck teams?
No. No, that will change. I mean, in that spot, you'll see a team just go down and away, out of the strike zone, and if he chases, great. Otherwise, we take our chances with Bogarts. Like, that you'll see a team do that. So now, look, Martinez, I mean, that's an MVP kind of moment right there, right? Red Sox haven't done jack all night long. They get a couple of guys on. Their big gun comes up, and he hits one out of the ballpark. So that's the kind of home run that will win you an MVP. It is. And I think he's the MVP of the league. That's the guy I would vote for. And it was a good moment and all of that. But, again, a lot of their strengths are going to get mitigated a little bit in the playoffs.
All right, so that's one item. Before I had sent out the nerd call asking for Craig Kimbrel's rankings in one-run save situations, I didn't tell you how to do it. Like, tweet the Felger and Mazz Twitter page, okay? Or tweet Big Jim Murray or tweet Mazz. I'm not on Twitter.
Tweet Murray.
Okay?
Yeah,
tweet
just,
somebody.
Just harass
here.
Me.
No. Harass Murray, but also, I want those numbers. Craig Kimbrel, when he has a two- or three-out I'm sorry, two or three run save situation is 21 for 21. When he has a one run save situation, he's 13 of 17. 76%. He's blown four of them. That feels like a lot.
It does.
Okay, but you tell me, people, is that standard? Is a 75% conversion rate on a one-run lead actually a good number? But what are his other numbers? ERA, WHIP, whatever you want. So I'm just curious about those rankings. Murray, check your Twitter feed on that. I'd normally tell you to email me, but I haven't checked my company email in so long. I'm four passwords behind, and I have no heart to go in there and try and start looking at my email. None, zero. So you have to tweet somebody here on the program. There's another thing. We're down here at Gillette Stadium for the Patriots training camp, and it just started to rain, cats and dogs. It just sort of passed, a thunderstorm just passed through, and it's also now started to lightning. And this is a thing of mine. I am scared crapless of lightning. I'm like a dog that wants to hide under the bed when it comes to lightning. It's just a little phobia of mine. I freaking hate lightning.
I mean, how many feet off the ground you figure we are right now? It's got to be what? It's got to be at least
over 100.
Oh, at least. It's got to be about 150. We have these nice iron railings right around us.
We're 100 feet in the air. We're on one of the outdoor walkways there at Gillette Stadium, surrounded by these metal fences and these metal posts and this giant metal aluminum stadium.
Iron girders.
And it started to lightning. So this is like another nerd call. Are we safe in here? We're under one of the overhangs.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, again, picture
we're sitting on concrete.
And we're on concrete, but what does that matter? Am I exposed here?
See, I think you're in danger myself because I think there's iron rebar inside the concrete. That's my sort of assessment of it. But you know, I'm no scientist, Jack.
It doesn't freak you out that we're like plugged into electronics. We're 100 feet in the air. We're surrounded by metal and iron, and it feels like the stadium's made out of aluminum, for God's sakes.
We're higher than 100 feet.
And
closer to the heavens than you think.
Now there's like thunder boomers all over the place. I'm a little freaked out. I want someone to tell me, one of our techs just told us, Charlie, that we're grounded and it'll go on the side of us. Is that true? Is that, like, can someone tell me that? Are we exposed here or not?
If you want me to expose myself, I can.
Because
you
honestly,
let me know.
Honestly? If we're not safe here, I'm gonna go run inside like a little child, like a dog cowering underneath the bed. I can't stand lightning. Can you imagine getting hit by lightning? How much that would hurt?
Yeah, I don't think you'd even be aware of it after the fact.
No, I don't want it. I don't want it. I don't want to get hit by lightning. So that's the second nerd call. Tell me, tweet us. Are we safe or are we exposed?
Harass Murray.
Okay, scientists, we know all you guys are so horny to tell us what you know about science. Tell us, what, Murray?
Leave me alone with that one, you and your kooky phobias. You're fine, you big baby.
Oh wait, God. What, you want to get hit by lightning?
Yeah, because if I survive it, I'm going to have superhuman powers and be able to shoot lightning out of my fingers like the Emperor in Star Wars. Bring it on.
No, you will. You'll be a metahuman, Murray. You'll be like the Flash.
I don't find it funny. Finally, third item, and Billy, let's run this now. I was driving home last night, as I usually do when I leave the show at 6, I turn on the baseball reporters. And when I turned on the baseball reporters, I originally thought, oh, Stewart hit the wrong button. And then immediately I thought, oh, no, he didn't. I know what these a-holes are doing. And I thought, you're open to the baseball reporters last night. That was so diabolical that Adam Jones, when he was listening to it, said, oh, my God, that's negative. It was so diabolical and dickish that not even Adam Jones would do it. So for those of you who don't get a chance to listen at 6 and it's an early part of the audience, maybe you missed it.
I thought it was brilliant.
This is coming off of a 4-game sweep of the New York Yankees to give the Red Sox commanding lead of the division of the league. Like, all systems go. World Series, here we come. They just come off the 4-game sweep of the Yankees. And Maz opens with this. Go ahead, Billy.
And the Patriots have come up with a thunderous 45-3 trouncing of the New York Jets here tonight in the battle for first place in the AFC East. Both teams came in at 9-2. The Patriots leave at 10-2. The Jets fall to 9-3.
That was a football highlight that we played there, Murray. That wasn't a baseball highlight. That was a football highlight.
Where are you going with this, Maz?
What the hell would we...
Stop. You prick. Halfway through the highlight, I'm like, oh, I get it. They didn't hit the wrong button. And then you chime in with that voice. Like, oh, you, what a prick.
I was just ad-libbing. It was a slip-up.
Yeah, go ahead.
Me doing playing a football highlight on the baseball reporters. That doesn't make any sense to me. Why in God's name would we be playing a football highlight on the baseball reporters? Let me see if I can draw an analogy.
Oh, I see where you're going.
2010, towards the end of the regular season, so this had been like week 12-ish.
It's in December, yep.
Somewhere around there, somewhere around week 12, two teams vying for the division title. One comes in here from New York playing a team from Boston, or in this case, New England, whatever. You get the idea. And what everyone thought would be a competitive affair turns into a completely one-sided blowout. And then what happened in the playoffs?
Yo, just stop, 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 stop. Seriously. Do you feel a little guilty doing this?
No.
Do you feel a little bit?
No, I'm just trying to keep people's feet firmly planted on the ground. That's like, what I'm trying to do.
Like, this is a little too much. Dave and Charlie, did you see that last one, by the way? Just FYI. Of course you saw it. It just shook the whole building. Go ahead, Billy, pick it up.
And then what happened in the playoffs?
It was the divisional round.
Oh, I get it.
Mark Sanchez fails to make a mistake. Defense plays out of their mind, and the Jets pull off the upset against the Patriots.
Oh, I see the comparison. I get it.
Seriously, how do you look at yourself in the mirror?
I admit it was a little sinister. It was, you know, I waited a day. I was going to do it on Monday, but I decided to wait a day and let Red Sox fans sort of revel in the victory, because you should. I'm just telling you, it's dangerous to take regular season success and transpose it onto the playoffs. It's a dangerous thing to
do. Oh, I get it.
Seriously. I'm like, in my car driving home, I'm like, you ponus. Seriously. Which I'm normally all for, but I thought you outdid even yourself. And that, even by another new low, is what I would say, is what last night's open was on the baseball reporters. But is it fair, people? We all remember what happened. You know, Patriots wipe out the Jets in 10. It's like, and then when you get that playoff game, it's like, well, the Jets don't stand a chance here. And then whoop. Whoop. Is that fair to put that sort of thing on this Red Sox team? We pick up your Red Sox calls right after this, providing we don't get poleaxed by lightning down here at Gillette Stadium.
Oh, I like this.
This is Felger and Mass.
Part of me wants to do it just to feel what that feels like.
98.5.
The Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub.
Well, the 3-0 pitch. There's a shot. Driven deep. Back it goes. It is gone. On 3. Oh, he launched it and has tied the game at 5.
That's a home run against Kimbrel last night. In one run saves, Craig Kimbrel is only 13 of 17. That doesn't sound very good. Jim Murray, did anyone tweet in and give us are there rankings in terms of one run save opportunities?
No, I haven't seen that yet, but I do have this from at Caroline Chelsea, saying, my boyfriend is a lightning engineer in aerospace and said that they are safe. You guys are safe as long as they are within the metal structure and all electronics are grounded with surge protectors.
Are all our electronics grounded with surge protectors, Charlie? Dave?
Okay, so those guys all just put their thumbs up, which I can tell them where to put their thumbs because I don't believe it.
We're in an outdoor metal box 200 feet in the air, and there's lightning all over the place.
There's another gentleman here who says he's a 103 IBEW electrician. Tell Felga, stop being a baby. He even spelt it F-E-L-G-A. Tell Felga, stop being a baby. You're grounded, and getting hit only hurts for a second.
Oh, really? My view with lightning is like, I don't think you get a second chance with it, but, you know, what do I know?
Aren't there stories of people who are, like, blind that get hit by lightning and get their vision back?
I don't care. I'm not worried about
that. I'm just saying, in your case, you could actually end up smart.
Okay, so I just was inside, and there were some security guys who went inside. If there was a game going on right now, they'd clear the stadium. They'd stop the game and make everyone go inside. I'm just curious, does this constitute inside?
Oh, put some napkins on your legs. You'll be fine.
All right, so fine. All right, but I really want to know about Kimbrel, as opposed to this grab ass. Here's Ernie, which I'm guilty of. Ernie and Revere, go ahead. What do you got?
Well, I'm wondering, you know, I would rather see the relievers throw their best pitch than messing around too much with curveballs. Who's calling these games? Three straight curveballs, last week, and the third one from Bonds went out of the park. Last night, three straight curveballs from Kimball. He's got to throw a fastball 3-0. That was out of the park. Wouldn't you rather see him throw a 98-mile-an-hour fastball more time to let the curveball be an out pitch?
Did he go 3-0 on curveballs?
I think he did. I think he threw all breaking balls. And I'll tell you what, I didn't have a huge problem with it for that reason. As soon as he went to the fastball, smoke hit it out of the ballpark.
Well, it was 3-0. It was interesting. You didn't hear that play-by-play. But just prior to the home run, the Sox had this massive shift on him, you know, as everyone does. But this one was really dramatic. And Nesson showed it. And Lyons started to get on smoke for not dropping down a bunt. They're giving you an easy single. You know, why wouldn't he just drop down a bunt? Oh, home run. But I agree with Lyons, actually. I think I should be bunting into those shifts.
So there was one out at the time, right?
I can't remember.
Yeah, I think he was the second batter of the inning, if I remember right. But in any case, I sort of thought, look, you know what my feeling is on that? Lay one down. If they're going to give you the left side, do it. Now, but this is textbook of what the game has become. We don't want the single. We want the ball out of the ballpark. And so they roll the dice and play for it. But the real question is, how many times does Smoke do that out of 100? Five?
Right.
I mean, so they're really playing for the 5%.
Is the problem with the Red Sox bullpen pitch selection?
No, I think it's balls is what I think, frankly. I just think when you put those guys in big spots where all of a sudden there's a little bit of pressure and you have to throw quality strikes, they can't do it.
We've got Teddy in Chicopee. Hi, Teddy.
I want to talk to Matt about the Red Sox relief pitching. I think the pitching is fair. It's not good. But the only thing is they win the games. And when they play against other teams, they bring their best reliever in, and the Red Sox still win. Look at the Yankees. They were ahead of the Red Sox 4-1. They brought their best relief pitcher. Who won the game?
You.
So I wouldn't bother too much about the Red Sox relief pitch until September.
All right. It's not whistling past the graveyard. Teddy, again, Jim Murray, how do you feel about it?
What, the bullpen?
Yes.
Oh, please. It's going to be the thing that ultimately I think is this team's demise come the postseason, unless they put a starter in there that can shore this thing up to be the bridge to Kimbrel. And I don't feel that great about him right now. I don't know how anyone can, but oh, no, that just means you're not enjoying it. Why can't you have fun? Watch these teams get mashed to death by the Sox. Okay, yeah, last night was fun, but there is a serious, serious problem with that bullpen. And if you don't think so, you're just sticking your head in the sand.
So the caller's not wrong. I mean, ultimately, it's about results in that business, and they do win the games. But even he did say, don't worry about it till September, which means that even he knows it's a problem.
Brendan in Georgetown. Hi, Brendan.
Hey, I'm calling in for Pomerantz should be in the bullpen. Pomerantz should definitely be in the bullpen. He has a killer curve, and when he gets that fastball 97, he was great, great last year. And also... So you saw Buckholz go in the bullpen a couple of years ago. Remember that? And Matt, I know you remember that. But he did great a couple of years ago when Buckholz.
Well, so look, let me stop you. There's a lot of examples of guys who are struggling in the starting role being moved to the bullpen and really helping you out. Derek Lowe.
Sure.
First year you won the championship. Buckholz did do it. David Price did it last year. Those starters in Houston last year that went to the back of the bullpen and helped them win a championship were not lighting it up from the starting. So you say, you know, Drew Pomerantz sucks. It doesn't matter where he goes. You'll get the same result. That's not true. Sometimes guys change their approach. They have to change their approach. And the next thing you know, you're getting a little something back there. So I would absolutely try it.
Yeah, look, it's worth a roll of the dice. I'm just telling you, I don't think putting Pomerantz out there now is the same as it was a couple of years ago when Farrell was the manager. Remember, he gave up the home run to Coco Crisp that year at Fenway Park. That year, he was throwing 96. This guy's barely clipping 90 now. He's throwing 90 miles an hour. So typically, the jump you would see of a guy from going from the start to relief is you'll see the fastball kick up 2 or 3 miles an hour. That means he's going to be at 92, 93. Is that enough? I don't think it is. I mean, I don't think he can get to 96 anymore.
John in New Hampshire, what do you got?
Hey, Maz. Hey, I got a question for you.
Yeah, go ahead.
Now, who's the second baseman for the primary second baseman for the Red Sox? Because you got four people there, and you get Brandon Phillips and Triple A.
Yeah, I think it's going to be Ian Kinsler. I mean, he's not there now because he's on the disabled list. He hurt his hamstring in the first game against the Yankees. But when if Kinsler's healthy, Kinsler's the guy. They acquired him to play.
So basically, if two of those guys decide to get hurt, then it'll be Brandon Phillips.
I mean, in theory, I doubt they'll get that far down the depth chart. And even Phillips had some sort of injury down in Pawtucket. I think it was like a side, an oblique, or a rib cage. And remember that because when they had the opening on the roster here, they didn't bring Phillips in, right? They brought in the guy who scored from second base, whatever his name was. I already forgot.
Right.
So to me, not an issue. It's just, I don't know, on their list of issues, their second baseman to me, that's not what's going to sink or swim them. Be nice if Kinsler comes in and hits like he used to, or, they get what they got, out of Nunez last year. I mean, they got what they got out of Nunez. Well, then again, he got hurt in the postseason. But either way, I think it's about their pitching and how they manage that, what starters go to the bullpen and can those guys do more than those gutless bums out there right now.
I'd still rather have a reliever than Kinsler.
Of course,
I think Brock Holt can do the job well enough. I mean, he's not, he's not defensively, but he can't make that play Kinsler made against the Yankees on the ball up the middle. But he's good enough. And I'd rather have a reliever. I think that could do them more harm.
Okay, we continue with your calls. We're here at training camp. We will get into some Patriots stuff starting next hour. But the key thing is that there's no commercials here. Just a quick update from Murray, and then we're right back.